Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text Number 69. Aham Pura Bhavam Kaschid Gandharva Upa Barhanaha Nam Natite Aha Kalpe Gandharvanam Susam Mataha Aham I myself Pura formerly Abhavan existed as Kaschit Gandharvaha, one of the denizens of Gandharva Loka, Upabarhana, Namna, by the name, Atite, long ago, Mahakalpe, in a life of Brahma, which is known as a Mahakalpa. Gandharvanam, among the Gandharvas. Su Samanvitaha, a very respectable person. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Long ago, in another Mahakalpa, millennia of Rama, I existed as a Gandharva known as Upabarhana. I was very much respected by the other Gandharvas. Purport, Srila Narada Muni is giving a practical example from his past life. Formerly, during the previous lifetime of Lord Brahma, Narada Muni was one of the denizens of Gandharva Loka. But unfortunately, as will be explained, he fell from his exalted position in Gandharva Loka, where the inhabitants are extremely beautiful and expert in singing, to become a sudra. Nonetheless, because of his association with devotees, he became more fortunate than he was in Gandharva Loka. Even though cursed by the Prajapatis to become a Shudra, his next life he later became the son of Lord Brahma. The word Mahakalpe is described by Srila Madhvacharya as Atita Brahma Kalpate. Brahma dies at the end of a life of many millions of years. The day of Brahma is described in Bhagavad Gita 8:17. Sahasra yuga paryantam ahuryad brahmano vidu ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho yatra vido janaha. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. Bhagavan Sri Krishna can remember incidences from millions of years ago. Similarly, his pure devotee like Narada Muni can also remember incidences from a past life millions and millions of years ago. Text 70. I had a beautiful face and pleasing attractive bodily structure. Decorated with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp, I was most pleasing to the women of my city. Thus I was bewildered, always feeling lusty desires. Purport, from the description of the beauty of Narada Muni, when he was one of the denizens of Gandharva Loka, appears that everyone on that planet is extremely beautiful and pleasing, and always decorated with flowers and sandalwood. Upabarhana was Narada Muni's name previously. Upabarhana was specifically expert at decorating himself to attract the attention of women. Thus became a playboy, as described in the next verse. Your playboy in this life is unfortunate because too much attraction to women will lead one to fall into the association of shudras who can easily take advantage of mingling with women without restriction. This present age of Kali, when people are manda, samanda, mataya, very bad because of a shudra mentality. Such free mingling is prominent among the highest. Such free mingling is prominent among the higher classes, brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas. There is no chance for men to mingle with women freely, but in the shudra community, such mingling is open because there is no cultural education in this age of Kali. Everyone is spiritually untrained and therefore is to be considered a shudra. A shudra, ashuda, shudra, kalpa. He, brahmana, kali, sambhavaha. When all people become shudras, certainly they are very bad. Manda, samanda, mataya. Thus they manufacture their own way of life with the result that they gradually become unfortunate, manda bhagya, and furthermore, they are always disturbed by various circumstances. So Narayana Muni, he remembered something that happened to him, not only millions of years ago, but in another life of Brahma. I mean, that's a good memory. That means Brahma lives for 311,040,000,000,000 years ago, and Narayana Muni can remember something that happened more than that ago. On the other hand, Arjuna, he was with Krishna when they visited the sun god, but Krishna says, I can remember this, but you cannot remember. So it is not that even a devotee can remember everything. But here we have an example of Narayana Muni remembering something that very specifically that pertained to him, that in the previous lifetime he was a Gandharva. Which is interesting also because in every Manvantara there are different prominent demigods. Gandharvas are almost demigods. But they're not mentioned in every Manvantara, only in this Manvantara. In any case, history repeats itself. And Narayana Muni was a Gandharva, a prominent Gandharva. And in the heavenly planets, generally speaking, it is expected that people are going to have some kind of enjoyment. Otherwise, why to go to the heavenly planets? But as we'll find out, that enjoyment is supposed to be restricted, even the heavenly planets. That when you go to a festival, you're supposed to sing about the glories of Krishna, not the glories of the demigods, especially surrounded by attractive ladies. So he was cursed to become a shudra, and somehow or another he became in the association of devotees. Now, shudra is not the lowest. Matter of fact, if one could become an actual shudra in Kali Yuga, he's doing quite well. That in the age of Kali, everyone is born shudra, kalos, sudra, sambhava, and there's a process of elevation. Jayate, janmana, shudra. Everyone may be born shudra, but samskara bhavat dvija. By some good association, one can have some samskar. Some idea that there's something beyond this gross and subtle material existence. Of course, we give our people some scars by telling them that they're not their body and explaining to them that the body is changing, but the soul inside the body is not changing. So there's a samskar. It's a second birth, rising out of the gross ignorance of our first material birth to take a birth as a spiritual being, to be born again as a spiritual being. But shudras don't necessarily have that much intelligence. But they have more intelligence than one who's carried away by the waves of material existence and become less than an animal. But generally, Shudras are addicted to sinful activity. That's why they're Shudras. But because they're suffering, generally speaking, in the association of the higher classes, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, and the Brahmins, they're able to regulate their sinful life, which qualifies them as a Shudra. Sinful life especially means illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meeting. And they're not separate from each other. If one is engaged in extensive illicit sex, then one will need energy in order to carry on such an activity. And therefore, meat eating will make one, give one the strength to carry on such sinful activity. But in order to digest the meat, you need alcohol. Therefore, we find some countries, they're especially expert at making alcohol. As a matter of fact, they can't even conceive, especially European countries, instead of taking water during the meal, they take wine. I don't know here in Slovenia if they do that. They do. Especially those who are meat eaters, they have to take wine. Otherwise, there's no way they're going to digest the food. Besides that, if they actually thought about what they're eating, they'd probably get sick. So better take an intoxicant. And then, of course, if one is intoxicated, everyone looks beautiful, and therefore everything is looks, one will speculate about enjoying anything or anyone. So this is called speculation. So Shudras, because they're addicted to sinful activities, therefore they suffer. Because it may, in the beginning, Krishna said, yad tara agre vishami va parinami ritopamam tatsukam satukam proktam amabuddhibus prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, but at the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Vishayendriya samyoga tat yat taragre ritopamam parinami vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smritam. That which in the beginning appears to be like nectar, but at the end is just like poison, and which is born of contact with the senses, with their object, is said to be in the mode of passion. Yataragre nu chanabande cha sukamohanam atmanaha nidralasya pramadoktam tatamasamudarita. That which in the beginning and the end is just like poison, which is born of sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be happiness in the mode of ignorance. So generally speaking, those who are addicted to sinful life, their happiness is in the mode of ignorance. In the beginning, it's distressful, and at the end, it gets worse. But there's some temporary feeling of satisfaction that we've accomplished something by gratifying our senses. So Narada Muni was born in such a family, but he had good association. The Bhaktivedantas who were visiting during Chaturamasya, and he had the auspicious opportunity to serve them and hear about Krishna consciousness. Generally, Shudras, they don't like to hear about Krishna consciousness. We don't find most people surfing the web trying to find out about Hare Krishna. No, they want to find out things that their senses are attracted to. How to make money and enjoy sense gratification. The last thing people want to hear in this age is religious principles. Because religious principles restrict one's opportunities for economic development and sense gratification. Even we find a class of people, they seem to be pious, but because they're engaged in sinful activities, their piety is quite restricted. they don't mind hearing about Krishna because they have some faith that Krishna will actually provide for their sense gratification. If they worship Krishna, if they give some money to Krishna, they have faith that Krishna will provide them more and more economic development and sense gratification. So actually they have no love for Krishna, they have love for economic development and sense gratification. And they certainly don't like to hear philosophy that's going to restrict their economic development and sense gratification. They didn't come to the Hare Krishna movement to hear about that. They came to the Hare Krishna movement to gratify their senses and have Krishna the Supreme help them do it. Therefore, the last thing they want to hear is philosophy, especially about regular principles and restrictions, etc., etc., because they're making money from sinful activities. They appear to be Vaishyas, but actually they're lower than Shudras. And therefore, for them, there is neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Yakshastra vidim ustrija vartate kamakarata nisasadim avapnoti nasukam na param gitim. Those who give up the scriptures and work whimsically can have neither the peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. But that's not what they're looking for. They're not looking for the supreme destination. They're not probably even looking for peace. They think happiness will be economic development for sense gratification. But Krishna says, asram bhavam tanaham dvishita kuran samsaresha naradamam shipram yadrasam ashubam asri shveva yonishu. To those who are envious and mischievous and the lowest among mankind, I perpetually cast them into the lower species of life. So, asram yoni apanam muda janmani janmani mama prapyaiva kuntiya tato yadamam gitim. So obtaining such destination, such asuras, they sink down to the most abominable regions of existence. Trividam narakastidam dwaram nashitam atmanaha kama krota tatalobas tasmat etam tayam trajet. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. So every sane person should become free for them because they lead to the degradation of the self. So one who takes the Krishna consciousness, as we can see in the case of Narada Muni, he was in a very elevated position, but he utilized it for his sense gratification. And therefore he fell down. And similarly, even though one may appear to be a devotee, and even give contributions to the Hare Krishna movement, but as Prahlad Maharaj said to Lord Nrisimhadev, when Lord Nrisimhadev was offering him benedictions, he said, I'm not a vanik. I didn't come here for business. So even one offers business contributions in the aim of getting back economic development for one's continual sense gratification, that will not help one very much. Because if one has a limited amount of economic development, one can only perform so much sinful activity. But if one has great economic development, the opportunities for sinful activity proportionally increase, and therefore the so-called worship of Krishna, in order to increase one's economic development, actually pushes one down further into the lowest species of life. Therefore, devotees accepting contributions from sinful people is not very good, because one becomes implicated. You may think I'm doing a good service helping this person, just like someone may be crossing the street, a little old lady, and you help her cross the street thinking you're getting pious activities. But the little old lady has a gun in her handbag and she's going to a bank to rob it. So you just assisted the little old lady in the bank robbery. So she goes to hell and you go to hell right with her. You thought you were doing something positive, but you were not doing it, helping little old ladies across the street in Kali Yuga. It's not a good idea because their activities are generally not favorable for Krishna consciousness. So this idea that we should help devotees, people think, oh, this is really sectarian. But they don't know what the laws of karma is. They don't know how one is getting the present body and what kind of body will get one in the next lifetime. That not everything is auspicious just because people say it is. Those who are acting in ignorance, acting not knowing what the Vedic scriptures say in any field of life, then their destination is they have to suffer the reactions, either in goodness, passion, or ignorance. But certainly they're not going back to the spiritual world. Narada Muni, however, he had the good fortune of contacting the Bhaktivedantas, and he took it seriously. He liked what he was hearing, because he was only 5 years old. He wasn't addicted to sense gratification at 5 years old. He had a service attitude. And he was humble, and he served the Bhaktivedantas favorably, and he heard from them and understood what they were saying, and then he got some of their prasadam, and by Krishna's arrangement, he got the favorable circumstance where his mother was bitten by a snake while milking a cow, and he was left all alone, and had no one else but Krishna to depend upon. And therefore, although he was 5 years old, he went on pilgrimage, saw the world for what it was, and then sat down to meditate, and Krishna will reveal himself. Not here, but he revealed himself in the first canto. So we have to become dependent upon Krishna, not dependent upon the materialists who have no favorable standing in Krishna consciousness, who are actually against Krishna, who don't want to hear about Krishna. They don't want to practice Krishna consciousness. But there's a class of people who are innocent. If they hear about Krishna, they'll favorably accept it. They won't reject it as an interference, at least up to a point. Because some people come and they hear about Krishna, they like the idea and they get attracted that Krishna can take away my misery. And therefore one comes up to the stage of a Shudra, and then by following the principles, one comes with a little bit of tiny pinch of goodness, realize he should be a vegetarian, give up some sinful activities at least for some time, and by such pious activities as chanting Hare Krishna, performing devotional service, one gets good economic development. One learns how to sell paintings or whatever else. And therefore one gives up Krishna consciousness, goes back to sinful activities, and pays his way back to hell again, thinking I'm saved. One can chant Hare Krishna in hell also, but there's not much economic development there. Make a deal with buy some of the thorn trees from the Yamadutas and get some interest on it. Therefore, one has to be careful, even when it comes to Krishna consciousness, that one should understand what the actual goal is. Otherwise, as Prabhupada said in the Bhagavad Gita, still auspicious Krishna consciousness will follow even in the next life, even if one is low born. Now, no one in the Krishna consciousness movement is expecting to become low born because, you know, we've performed so many pious activities. We've chanted so much, we've done so much service. No, one can actually, if one can perform sinful activities, one will become low-born again. But at least one will be able to chant Hare Krishna or get some prasadam and have a chance to get out of that low-born situation and make progress in Krishna consciousness like Narada Muni did. On the other hand, if one is low-born and performs sinful activities, one will further go down into the lower species of life. So, misuse of our free will is not a good idea at any stage of life. Thinking, well, all right, I'll just misuse my free will a little bit. Krishna will catch me, and I'll get the booby prize. I'll go to the heavenly planets. But here we find that even when it's in the heavenly planets, a little mistake. I mean, who would ever expect if you go to a concert with some ladies, you're going to wind up falling down to the earth planet as a Shudra, in Kali Yuga, no less. just a little mistake. He didn't apparently do anything else that's mentioned here, but it was enough. His previous activities were enough to put him in a rather negative circumstance, and in that circumstance he got into a big difficulty. But still, he was somehow or another, by good fortune, he elevated himself above that difficulty because Krishna arranged it that somehow or another Narada Muni is a special personality. And therefore he got the association of devotees. But we may not be so fortunate. Bharat Maharaj was born as a deer, but he had the mentality that I have to get into the association of devotees. So even as a deer, although embarrassing, he went to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Yeah, he actually listened. He didn't get very much prasadam, because deers can't eat prasadam. But I guess he offered the leaves that he ate. And he was humbled by the circumstance to go from the emperor of the world, of Bardvarsha, or a Jambudvip, practically speaking, to become a deer is rather embarrassing. You don't get any respect as a deer. But he was humble enough to understand what the circumstances were because he was such an elevated devotee. And therefore he took advantage of his low birth and by associating with devotees in a humble way. And next life he was born as Jad Bharat and was very careful not to get entangled in materialistic activities. So we have to take that same mentality, not to think that because we're devotees we have some kind of credit card, we charge our sins to our Guru Maharaj, whatever we do, we charge our sins, and we're clear. He pays for it, because it's the Guru credit card. No, we have to be careful that we don't charge our sins to anyone, and we don't commit sinful activities, and try to go on the path of devotional service as strictly as possible, so that gradually we can avoid bad association and risk falling down into the lower situation in our next lifetime or in this lifetime. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Avadhuta Roy, welcome.
There's like five or so. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4:27-23, Narada, showing mercy, instructed, "People's fear should be weakened by the influence of old age." Question: how is it mercy if people have no much fear of old age and less disease? How material benedictions are mercy? Rather, I think it fearful, one may go to transcendence.
What did it say? That people's fear is less in it when they get older?
Yeah, like Narada Muni is saying, people's fear should be weakened by the influence of old age. And then he's stating that how is that that...
Where is that stated? That's contrary to the Srimad Bhagavatam. As you get older, you get more fearful.
In 4th Canto, 27th chapter, 23rd verse... Should we skip
this? Yeah, you can say the next question.
Okay. As per Brihad Bhagavatamrita 3.5.1.43, Narada affectionately called Krishna's flute Vamshika, little bamboo flute, but also out of jealousy calls it by the derogatory term Dharavi, wooden object. Question: envy doesn't seem something spiritual. How to understand this?
Envy?
Doesn't seem to be something spiritual. How to understand this?
You can't understand it. You have to become spiritual first before you can understand it.
Okay, next one. How is it that by birth Ramananda Rai was a Shudra and still he was a minister of Prataparudra?
Because of the Kayasta. They're not just Shudras. Shudra means that by birth he may have been born Shudra, but he's actually a Nitya Siddha devotee. He's a greatly intelligent person. But generally speaking, as Prabhupada said, in certain regions of India, anyone born as a Kayastha was sometimes, Kayastha means more or less on the Kshatriya platform, administrator. Sometimes they're considered to be Shudras because they're employed. Anyone who's employed by someone is considered a Shudra.
How is casting souls into hell again and again, mercy of the Lord? Sounds a bit hedonistic.
Yeah, well, they get burned. When you get burned, you don't want to go back again. Krishna's trying to help people learn their lesson. One performs sinful activities and becomes absorbed in the bodily concept of life, then he sends you to hell. People in hell are really getting out of the bodily concept of life quickly. It's not so pleasant to be in hell in the bodily concept of life.
Srila Prabhupada says, if the Shudra strictly follows the rules and regulations for Shudras, he can become a Brahmana. Can you explain this, please?
Well, first you have to become a Vaishya, then a Kshatriya, then a Shudra. It's gradually a restriction of sense gratification and fixing the mind upon Krishna. That's the process of elevation, Yajna Vai Vishnu. Giving up sense gratification and filling it in with Krishna consciousness. What's the verse?
We are looking through this verse and canto, but we don't find what Prabhu was referring
to.
Okay, so come back tomorrow.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.